Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I get to say it twice, and you'll probably hear it a few more times. We have a few things we want to do this morning, just as an introduction. Yeah, that's me. My mom would say that's a handsome-looking fellow, but my wife, you know, hopefully she still thinks so, but she does. Okay, I got confirmation. Whew. All righty. The reason we have that up there is because we want to take a little moment this morning. We've had a year of transition. We've had some wonderful people who work with us transition and move on, and we've brought some amazing people on with us as part of our team. And we want to just kind of formally introduce them to you this morning. Is that okay? So that's me. I'm the lead pastor. My name is Peter Kippenhuck. If you've never met me before, come talk to me. Come say hello. And I'd love to get to know you a little better. The second person we want to introduce is my lovely wife. Oh, actually, no. It is me. Okay, it is her. She's here. This is Pastor Carrie Ann. She's our lead administrator, our kids pastor, and pretty much whatever else I need her to do, which is a good amount. She keeps things straight. You see her on your announcement videos every week. And she's also the wonderful mother to my children, and I can acknowledge that today. And so thankful for her. Next, we have this wonderful lady who we love and appreciate. And I'm not going to stand up here, and I'm not going to be any kind of... I'm just counting the days until she's back here in the name of Jesus. Amen. She is our care and connection pastor, but she's really my right arm, my second in command. She brings lead pastor experience, and I love her to pieces, and we love her to pieces, and we are so happy to have her as part of our staff and looking forward to her return. And she's also a fantastic mother and grandmother, so we acknowledge her in that right today. Next, we have this guy, Jacob Schemer, Pastor Jacob. Come on up. You've seen him before. Yeah, you can clap. You can cheer as they come, for sure. And so, Jacob, you're going to have to forgive me. He did join us from Ottawa, but you can come and rub it in as your Toronto Maple Leafs beat the pants off the Ottawa Senators just last week, I believe it was, right? So take your chance. Get your shots. But we're so happy to have Jacob. He was the first hire in this last year. We brought him on, and I've told many people, they say, how's it working out? I said, listen, we hired for character. We hired for people who love Jesus first and who want to see Jesus made famous. And Jacob is all those things. We're happy to have him here, and I trust that you are as well. Amen? Amen? Amen. So next, we have this guy, Jason Fifield. This is Jason's first official Sunday as our Next Generations pastor. So welcome him. We're so happy to have him. He had his first youth night on Friday night, and we are so excited to have him on our team and looking forward to what God is going to do in our life. Amen? Now many of you recognize him. He's been here. This is his home church, and so we're excited to have him back, and we're excited to, I'm so excited about all this team. I hope you can tell that. You say, who's down? Dylan is downstairs, which is a little apropos because the man works hard on Sunday mornings, but the next person is Heather Davidson. My wife told me the order that these are going to appear in, and she failed miserably. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Heather Davidson, come on up, please. Yeah. And so Heather is our bookkeeper and our administrative assistant. We added the administrative assistant part because the lady that she's filling in for, Shirley DeVille, did much more than a bookkeeper. And so we acknowledge the fact that she's going to have to do a little bit more than a bookkeeper. But Heather has been an amazing addition to our team. And in case you're wondering, in all of these acquisitions, I'm going to call them, the people we brought on our team, I'm very protective over who we put into this team and the cohesion and the unity in this team. And Heather just fits so wonderfully. And we are so happy to have her on our team. And we pray together on Tuesdays as we get together for staff meeting and share, learning to share life with her and with each other. And so we're so grateful to have Heather here, and she's been doing an amazing job. She was hired in the fall, like Jacob, but she got hired right at the time when we were finishing our end-of-year books. So we had to get everything transitioned to her and training. That's why she's great, she says. So we had to get her all that transitioned to her and training. And then right after Christmas, we got into audit season. And then, as you know, annual business season, she got kind of ordained by fire, didn't you? Yeah, but she responded so amazingly. So we're so thankful that Heather's here. Next, of course, is the illustrious Dylan McIsaac, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Is there another slide? Is there no slide?
I did create one, I promise.
Oh, gosh. Dylan is amazing and an instrumental part of our staff, and we love Dylan. Dylan is assistant to youth and children's ministry. And he's actually the only one of us right now. He's down doing his job right now and feeding your children with the truth of God's word. Amen? And so we're so grateful for Dylan. And we apologize for not having a picture, but you all know what he looks like. If not, we'll introduce you to him a little later. But we're so thankful for him. We're so grateful for him. We're so grateful for this team. We look forward to the day when Pastor Connie's back up with here with us. And we're going to be celebrating what God has done in her life. Amen? But right now, if there's any board members that are present here, if you could you come and join us? I kind of want to just take a moment, and if you will, just to come and take some time and pray for us, if you and commission us for His work. Amen. It's a really important. One thing I want to acknowledge is those who were staff members last year that have moved on, thinking about Fozzie, Pulse, and Orlando Harris, and also Shirley DeVille. We love them. We appreciate them so much. And we took the stance that we were sending them out, and we were blessing them and encouraging them. And we love our relationship with them, and we care about them greatly. But God had plans. And today we stand here humbled to be able to serve you in any way possible that we can. And we are here to serve Scarborough in any way we can, in Toronto as a whole, and as far as God allow our reach to go across this world. Amen? So if you're able, would you just stand and maybe stretch an arm out and pray with us this morning? And maybe, Jeff, you are the longest standing board member here currently. We have a couple new board members up here in Mathen. Not really new. He's back on again. And Yolanda. And we're so grateful for our whole team here. So will you just join Jeff as we pray together, as he prays for our team? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, Jesus.
We thank you for this.
You're on.
Father God, we just thank you for this day where
thank
we
you, Jesus.
Can get together and recognize the pastors, the people that you've put in charge here at this church, mm-hmm. Lord, to guide us and to lead
thank
us,
you,
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you that you have your hands upon them in their lives and in their work here in the church to lead us in the way that you want us to go. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that mm-hmm. moves in there in
you,
our
Jesus.
Church and in among these people.
Thank you, Jesus.
We ask you to increase their anointing and increase
praise
their,
you, Jesus.
Giftings, Lord God, that you would be manifest here in our place, Lord, in this mm-hmm. in this home. This is your home, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we thank you for the gifts that you've given us. We ask you to bless these people, bless their lives, bless mm-hmm. their ministries.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless our church, Lord God. Mm-hmm. Bring your spirit in power and love and might. We ask it mm-hmm. in Jesus' name.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, folks. God bless you guys. I will say, not so selfishly. We need your prayers. So continue to pray for us, will you? In the summer, we get it's a little bit of a transitory season. You know, we have vacation times and stuff. So I encourage you that, you know, when Pastor Carrie Ann and I are away, to support our staff, be here, lift them up, pray for them, amen, as we'll be praying when we're away. And it's amazing how when you get away to recharge, you go on vacation to recharge. If we're attending another church or if we're, you know, taking a Sunday to relax, how dare we not go to church on vacation? My heart is filled with thinking about you guys, and we're praying for you, and we're believing what God's going to do in our midst. Amen? I am believing for the day when we sit down at the board meeting, we start discussing what time are we going to start our second service. I dream about this stuff. You got to understand, I believe it's going to happen. I believe in my heart we're going to have a discussion about where are we going to park everybody. This is the truth, and the reason it's the truth, and I believe it in my heart, is because God's kingdom is going to advance, and it needs to advance right here in Scarborough. And I just believe that as we're faithful to the task, all of us, not just the staff up here, you look at us, and we all have responsibilities, but we as a church, as family, man, I believe not in just pastors. I believe in the church of Jesus Christ. I believe in God. I believe in what he has done for us, and I believe in my heart that every one of us has the ability to have pastoral giftings, prophetic giftings, evangelistic giftings, discipleship, teaching giftings. I believe that God calls us all to be apostolic in many ways, and I just want to see the gifts of God, the ministry gifts of God, released in this building so that you are functioning in the kingdom of God the way God had planned you to function. Amen? When I realize that I'm successful as a pastor is when I'm not needed anymore. I know that's silly because I want you all to need me for a lot of years, but not in that way. I want to be part of this church. But when I'm not here and I'm on vacation, I want this place to ring out with the praises of God and not to miss a beat. I want you to be the kingdom of God, to be the church, and to be functioning. Amen? I just believe that with all my heart. Having said that, I also want to take some time right now to acknowledge another young man. I'm going to invite him up here. His name is Sajad. You can give him a hand as he comes. Sajad is a native son. This is his home church, and his mom, Semaye, did I get it correct? She's here proud, and so she should be. Sajad is, I wanted to give him a few moments this morning. If you can look behind me, he's going on a mission trip with OM, correct?
Yes.
Operation Mission, is that correct?
Operation Mobilization.
See, I wasn't even close. Operation Mobilization. He's committing himself to discipleship, literally and figuratively, I guess. You know, ship actually has a real meaning on there because he's going to be spending the next year, beginning in August, on a ship, traveling and doing missions work and being discipled. And so we're very excited about that. And I have mentioned sending out. And so maybe just take a moment. Tell us a little bit about your, come over this way a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to experience on this year of discipleship.
So I'll be leaving August 21st. August 21st or 22nd, I'll be in Jamaica for a conference that they're holding before we go on the ship.
All right. Shout out Jamaica. All right.
So I'll be working on deck. So I'll be doing maintenance. I'll be, you know, just keeping the ship intact and safe for everybody else who's living on the ship. And yeah, I just want to learn more about Jesus. I want people to see Jesus through me. That's something I want to accomplish before I come back. So,
So what is your discipleship training and how they teach you? What does that look like on the ship?
So I'm not exactly sure.
Not
I haven't
exactly
been given
sure.
all the details, but I do know that on Saturdays we go out into the country. Mondays to Fridays you work a 9-to-5 job, basically. Okay. And then on Sundays, we have church in the ship with 300 people.
Amazing.
So.
Awesome. So it's there's so many things about this I love. The fact that you're going to be working a job, learning discipline, learning different things like that, and being in a Christian community. But also, every time you stop at a port, like you said, on Saturdays, you're going to be doing missions work in those local places.
Absolutely. That's correct. Help out the people, whatever they need, like building houses, building wells, you know, just fixing whatever they need us to fix. We're just there for them. We're God's workers, right? So.
Mm-hmm. So how cool is it that this guy, you're finishing up high school this year, correct?
Yeah, June.
In June. And this is how he wants to spend his first year out of high school. It's pretty amazing. So I'm going to do two things. First of all, I'm going to pray for him. He's not leaving till August. I'm going to ask you to consider supporting him if you can. He does have to raise a good portion of money before he goes on to cover the cost of his mission throughout the year. And I personally believe Sajad is somebody that I want to invest in. My wife and I will definitely be doing that. And there's a few ways that you can do that, and we'll bring you up to speed on that in the next few weeks. He has to have a significant portion raised by June. Is that correct?
Yes, early June.
Early June. And so for him to be able to do something like this in for an entire year, he needs to have about $1,800 a month. And so you can help him out by sponsoring him on a monthly basis. Is that correct?
Yep.
Or you can, if you want to bless him and donate some money directly to him to help the cost, it's all managed and it gets distributed as needed on the boat and stuff.
Exactly.
It'll all kind of happen almost very similar to how we support missionaries. And that's really what he's doing. He's going on a missions journey, just like Paul. Dude, you're like Paul.
Awesome.
You get to go on a ship. Just don't get shipwrecked.
No.
Don't let snakes bite you. And don't drop your axe head in the water. I'm just saying. That's all things. You got to go look all that up when you're on the boat. And you remember these stories. So I want to ask you, you know, consider supporting him. If you talk to him after the service and talk to him over the next few weeks and he can give you more details, he can send you a link that makes everything super simple if you want to support him. But I just believe in investing and sending people out. Amen. So can we, as Wardenful Gospel Assembly, send Sajad out to do this for a year? Amen. Operation Mission
Mobilization.
I want to call it mission. They should double that M up.
Whatever you want to call it.
Operation Mission Mobilization. OM2. I was joking. They've been contacting me and keeping me informed, and I had to write a recommendation, and they're really big on accountability within the church. They would not let Sajad go unless they knew that me as his pastor and us as a team supported him, and I admire that greatly. And so I am glad and honored to send him out. Been excited to get to know him since we've been here, and it's an amazing opportunity. So we're going to just, if you would again agree with me in prayer, we're going to pray for him. Amen. And I'll also ask God to speak to your heart about how maybe you can help him financially or prayerfully in your support over the next year. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for Sajad. Lord, it invigorates my heart, Lord Jesus, when young people, Lord, make decisions to follow you, to open their heart to missions work, pastoral work. A little bit of it scares me a bit, Lord, because I know to a degree what he's getting into. But Lord, what an amazing opportunity for him to have his faith in you built up over this next year. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that's what my heart's cry is, that his faith in you over this next year would become so strong, so solid, that nothing in this world would shake it moving forward. Lord, this year is just the beginning of what you're going to do through Sajad. I believe it, Lord Jesus. This is a one-year journey, but he is fully affixed in the journey with you, Lord Jesus, throughout life. And we're open, Lord God, and excited to see what you're going to do in his life moving forward, Lord Jesus. We thank you for him, oh God. We commission him. We send him out, Lord Jesus. He's with us for the next couple months, Lord Jesus, and I just believe that all the needs that he needs to fulfill before he goes will be taken care of in the name of Jesus. And that I believe, oh God, that you're going to speak to people's hearts and that they would be able to give as worship and out of their generosity, Lord, as you speak to them, Lord Jesus, and you are going to provide. Father, we love you. Bless him now in the name of Jesus. Bless his mom's heart who has to let her boy go for a year. Thank you for her and her influence. Continue to use her, Lord, as she's very operative in missions right here in this city. And bless her home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate it, guys. Man, this is exciting stuff, right? Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm feeling momentum in not only in the spiritual, but I'm seeing it in the physical. And just believing. I'm believing God for seasons of healing in the name of Jesus. I'm believing God for expansion in vision, implementation of vision. Hanging tight. This fall, I want to be able to communicate some things to this church and invite you to be a process in some things this fall. I'm excited about it. I've been praying about it for over a year and just believe that God is solidifying these things in my heart and in the leadership of this church. Yeah, it's exciting. I'm so happy to be the pastor of Wardenville Gospel Assembly and excited to see how far God is going to let our arms reach. Amen? Amen. Today is Mother's Day. I love my mom. I'm going to publicly say it. Everybody says their mom's the best. They're all lying. My mom's the best. If you spent 10 minutes with her, you'd have the bat on and recognize it. Just got to acknowledge it. 10 minutes with my mom, you'd be like, yep, she's better than my mom. I'm just kidding. Not really, but I am kidding a little. No, we all believe that. I love the fact that you all believe that about your mom. Isn't that wonderful? It says something about who she is. It says something about the strong women in our life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. My sermon is entitled Motherly. And this word kind of struck me this morning. In case you're wondering, that's a big mama bear's feet behind her little cub. I begin to ask myself, what makes someone motherly? And then I said, well, can I be motherly? Can I have motherly characteristics? I'm confident enough to say as a man that, yeah, I can have motherly characteristics. It is amazing how distinctly this adjective changes the meaning of a word that is already very expressive. For instance, we can say that someone is affectionate, but it is entirely different to say that that person is exhibiting motherly affection. It's different. There's something different about it. Affection is not the same as motherly affection. Intuition is not the same as motherly intuition. We know this. Protection is not the same as motherly protection. Compassion is not the same as a motherly compassion. Patience is not the same as a motherly patience. And we can go on and on. Connection. The love of a mom is different. The guidance of a mom is different. It's different. It feels different. I'm standing here today. I'm saying it, and I know it, but it's so hard to explain why it's different. And I'm going to try and maybe figure that out a little bit this morning for you. Presence. Motherly presence is different. A motherly embrace is certainly different. Motherly devotion. Motherly silence is an interesting one, isn't it? We often say, well, that's kind of weird, but when we read the passage that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart in Luke 2:19, when the angel spoke to her about the son she was going to have, it's pretty amazing what motherly silence can say without saying a word. And motherly sacrifice is amazing. We'll talk a little bit about that today. So in society today, some react poorly to being called motherly, you know, maybe taking it as a prophetic about their immediate future. Oh, I'm not motherly. I'm not ready to be a mom. I understand that. I get that. But hopefully when we're done this sermon today that you feel okay with somebody, regardless of whether you're ready to be a mom or not right now. You're okay. You'll maybe have a different understanding of what it means when somebody looks at you and says you have motherly characteristics. Maybe, like I said, people think it. I think they take it too prophetic right in the moment. But maybe if they just understood it as someone who's calling them strong, compassionate, protective, wise, and so on. If you're a young man looking for a wife, it may not be a compliment if you lead with, wow, you're so motherly. I wouldn't say that that's the first compliment you want to give the woman on the first date that you're with her. Don't lead with that. But it is a characteristic that at some point in your burgeoning relationship, you should look for. I think it's wise to look for somebody who understands motherly affection, compassion, sacrifice. Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you. Obviously, this is Moses talking to the recently Exodus Israelites, and he says two things about in this passage. One thing is that there is no clause. Honor your father and your mother. It's not honor your father and your mother if they treat you well. Honor your father and mother if they buy you the Xbox that you want. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they raise your curfew. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they give you the things you want or do the things. It just says honor your father and your mother. That's tough. And it leaves the understanding that God will take care of the blessing if you do that. And it also leaves the understanding that mercy can change the life of somebody through honor. Second part of that is that there's a blessing if you do. If you honor your father and mother, it says you're blessed with long life and whatnot, but the blessing of honoring your father and mother goes much deeper than just long life. It's a beautiful thing. There's a lot of passages in Scripture that talk about strong mothers and strong women in general. There's a few that just comes to mind. The woman who gave the two coins when people were going up to give to support the church, and it was all that she had, and it caught the attention of Jesus in Mark 12. The story of the widow woman who was left with debt after her husband passed away and couldn't pay her debt. And through God, through Elijah, God did an amazing miracle in her life. And she had a small vat of oil, and Elijah told her to pour the oil into the bigger containers. And she filled up all the containers that she had, was able to sell it and make enough money to pay off her debt. God is amazing. Then we have the Shunammite woman in the same chapter in 2 Kings 4, who cared for Elijah. She was unable to have a child, and through Elijah, God granted her desire to have a child. And this is just to name a few. But there's one account that stands out to me that may seem a little strange to you when we're talking about moms, but well, bear with me this morning. It's in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 27. And you can look it up or you can read it with me on the back here, but just listen to this amazing account about King Solomon. It says, now two prostitutes came. It's not really a good way to start when you're talking about moms, right? All right, just hanging with me. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle, and every mom's heart right there just sunk a little bit, right? We don't really acknowledge the other woman in this, because towards the end of this account, she seems to be difficult and everything, but understandably difficult. She just lost a son, so we need to acknowledge that in the middle of this. It says, during the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, no, the living one is my son. the dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine. And so they argued before the king. And the king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. Whew, mom's heart just bounces again, right? So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half of one half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling. He says, give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is the mother. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. This story is striking. But there's an amazing truth that's here that I pray that you would open for us today. So, Father, I pray that you would give me clarity of thought and speech as I present your word this morning, that you would help me to function in the anointing you placed on my life to do this, that you would open our hearts to be willing to be changed by your word in your presence today. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what was the defining characteristic that indicated to Solomon who the mother was? What was it? It's a rhetorical question this morning, but I wouldn't blame you if you shouted it out. What was he looking for? What kind of a response was he anticipating that would give him the clarity he needed to settle this dispute? I would contend that he was looking for a motherly reaction. He was looking for a motherly response. To really bring clarity here, we need to look at the original language with regard to one phrase in particular. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 26, it says, the woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son. It's striking to me that they actually mentioned the woman whose son was alive, because it tells me that the other child who had passed away in the night was probably present and visual there in the room with the king. And I can't imagine. That hits home to me. I've had the privilege and the anguish of standing in a room in a very similar situation where one twin had lost his battle and the other one was struggling for his life. It's a striking, unbelievable experience. So I'm not trying to make you feel sad or anything this morning, but I think to understand the context of what's going on here is important into getting into the understanding of this word. But verse 26 says, the woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son. She didn't want him to be hurt. If you look at the New King James Version, it says she yearned with compassion for her son. The King James goes a little deeper. It says, for her bowels yearned upon her son. For some reason, that makes sense, doesn't it? Like, from the inside depths, this intense emotion that comes from a mother's heart yearned for her son. In the NASB, it says that she was deeply stirred over her son. The NASB also includes a note stemming from the original language, and it says that her compassion grew hot. Somehow we understand that this morning too, don't we? The real mother, it says in the message, the real mother of the living baby was overcome with emotion for her son. If we look at the phrase here, we look at the word, the Hebrew understanding here is the word rachamim, which really talks about tender mercy and compassion. It talks about something that comes from the seat of one's emotions, the very bowels, the very inner part of someone's being, who they are. It can refer to those who have came from the same womb, you know, like siblings or twins, and help you understand that connection. But more to the point, it can also refer to a motherly feeling, a motherly compassion, a compassion that can grow hot. Rachamim shows a link between two separate words in the Hebrew, rachem, which actually means to have compassion, and the other word, rachem, which means womb. Think about that. The true mother in this account was deeply moved out of a mother's love. She displayed motherly compassion. She was overcome with emotion because her son was her heart, and she couldn't imagine him being harmed. Solomon was looking to see who would respond with not just compassion, but specifically a motherly yearning, which woman's compassion would grow hot. He was looking to see who would respond in a motherly way. And sometimes a mother's compassion can run hot. All the moms say amen. Somehow, that note from the NASB makes so much sense. It is like it describes a feeling that can only be understood experientially, but can be observed as Solomon anticipated. To be motherly is to love deeply. To love deeply is to be protective, to guard, to care, to cover. The word motherly is important because I have known courageous women who did not have children, who do not have children, or have struggled to have children, or were unable to have children, still exhibit the characteristics that King Solomon was looking for, still exhibited motherly characteristics. And I have a mom who loves me and my brothers with a deep, loving compassion, a motherly compassion. But I have also seen my mom be a spiritual mother to many others, and she loved them as a spiritual mom with a motherly compassion. And to them, she was affectionately known as Mrs. K. Many of them today would acknowledge her role in their life and would have no problem referring to my mom as motherly and as a spiritual mom. My wife and I tried to have children for almost 10 years. It's amazing how you say that out loud and your brain just goes back to moments. And we had always wanted to be foster parents, and we decided at some point that we were going to start. We wanted to bring foster parents into a family, into kids, into a home with children. And we decided, God spoke to me one day in particular when I was walking by our fridge, and I looked at the picture of the little kid that we were supporting in Asia, and which is super important. I'm not trying to devalue it, but God spoke to my heart and said, what about the ones in your backyard? But long before we became foster parents, which became a very important part and has influenced how we parent and how we look at life in general, it was probably one of the most fantastic things we've ever had opportunity to do. But long before we became foster parents, we were spiritual parents. Many of the teens and young adults that we allowed to live life with us are, as far as she and I are concerned, family. And they would look at my wife and they would think that she exhibited motherly compassion, motherly intuition, motherly patience, motherly affection, motherly wisdom, warmth, grace, strength, tenderness, protection, motherly silence on times, but not that often. My wife is not that silent, but I love that about her. And motherly love. Every child we fostered or spiritually adopted experienced these things. Can I just talk a little bit about motherly protection? Everybody ever see your mom's motherly protection come to the front? Anybody ever cross you and your mom step between them into that situation? Excuse me. I joke with my wife when discussing this sermon with her by saying, you would have never made it before the king because you would have taken that chick out before he got there. If she would have took your boy. Just joking but this morning, but not really. She would have. And I'm not, a little disclaimer, I'm not referring to my wife, or nor would I ever insinuate in any way that she is a prostitute. And that's where they, yeah, anyway, as the two ladies in this story were. In all seriousness, no, the greatest characteristic of a mom or of one who is motherly is sacrifice. It's sacrifice. The motherly act that caught King Solomon's attention was her willingness to be parted from her child in order to save his life. Her sacrifice, willingly accepting the pain for the betterment of her son. I remember one time a few years back when we were living in Aurora, and one of the things about a mom and a dad is letting your kids have a little bit of freedom, a measure bit of freedom. My daughter was about 8 years old, and she could ride her bike, and she used to say, Dad, just one block, Dad, just let me one block. I'll go one block on my bike. She wanted that little bit of freedom, so we started letting her go one block. I spent a lot of time. My daughter has a deep love for pets, for dogs, and so I taught her how to approach dogs and how to speak to their owners and to get permission and stuff. And so she stopped at one person's yard, and she said, "Is your dog friendly? Is it okay if I say hello to the dog?" The dog was not friendly. It dragged the elderly owner out the driveway and grabbed onto my daughter's arm. And left a hole in her arm about the size of a dime. And you can imagine the motherly protection that riled up. Fatherly protection a little bit too, I'm not going to lie. I say all that to say, it's a longer story there, but we went through the process, and actually the authorities got involved, and there was a muzzle order required for that very big dog. We were driving home one day, and as we drove around the corner, we see the owner walking the dog with the muzzle in his hand. And I looked at my wife, I said, knowing who she is, I says, just calm down, I'm going to wind down the window, I'm going to talk to this guy. And I looked at the window and I said, that dog is supposed to be muzzled. He says, my house is just right there. And before I could say anything, that dog just bit my little girl. How dare you? She was crawling over me. I'm like, hold on a second. And I thought she was going to go out through the window. And dude stepped back a bit, like he was on the lawn of the person, off the sidewalk. And I don't know that we stuck around long enough to see if he actually muzzled the dog. I was more concerned about his safety. But aren't we willing? Aren't moms willing to sacrifice? Solomon was looking for one whose motherly compassion would grow hot. It's unmistakable when you see it. It's what compels those Carrie Ann has spiritually adopted to call her and send her messages on Mother's Day. Because they experienced a deep compassion that let them know that this person would sacrifice it all for them. And I would admit that we would. It is not contingent on a biological connection, not to discount that part because it is powerful, but it's more than that. It is one of the clearest examples of the compassion and mercy of Christ we have in society today. I think it's very interesting when you look at the rest of this chapter in 1 Kings, you go back 1 to 15, and we get this very familiar interaction. It's the interaction where Solomon's talking to God, and God says, ask me for anything. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And this is the story. This is the first account directly after God had granted him wisdom. And God said, because you have asked for something that wasn't directly beneficial, like it wasn't riches and all these things, because you've asked for something and such, I'll give you everything else as well. And the first story they tell to display Solomon's wisdom is this account. No, a motherly reaction is not contingent on a biological connection. is one of the clearest examples of the compassion and the mercy of Christ we have in society today. Can we begin to see that connection this morning? Someone who loves unconditionally. Someone willing to endure the worst for our safety, for our benefit. Someone who feels compassion for you so deeply that it is overwhelming. Someone who would put it all on the line for us. It is important to note again, like I said, that this all came right after Solomon had asked for wisdom. It's the first story told, but we would be wise as well today and every day to acknowledge our moms and those who exhibit this wonderful motherly compassion. To acknowledge their motherly affection, compassion, intuition, protection, their love that comes from the depths of who they are. It's a sacrificial type of love that gives us insight into the heart of our Savior. I know what it means to be compassionate because of the display from my mother's heart. From the display of my wife's heart. I have experienced compassion from my mom that sometimes wasn't deserved. It is quite possibly the clearest expression of the compassion of Jesus we will encounter in physical form. And as a parent, I take that very seriously because it is our responsibility, I believe in my heart, to give our children a clear picture of the characteristics of the King of Kings. I think a motherly response, you know, in many ways, you know, it shows strength, it shows compassion, it shows protection, it shows all these things, but there's something different when you put that word motherly in front of these words. Something that I cannot give to my children that only their mom can give. And there's something that as a father that only I can give that my wife can't necessarily give. And I take that very serious. And I think about my parents. And I think about how they displayed the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords to me by being themselves and embracing who God had called them to be. But it is quite possibly the clearest expression of compassion, the compassion of Jesus we will ever encounter in physical form is through a godly mom. Ladies of every generation, to be referred to as motherly is the highest of compliments. It is one of the highest calls, and I will tell you right now that the highest call that I have on my life outside of serving my Lord and Savior is to be the best possible parent I could be. Don't be afraid to let your compassion grow hot. Don't be afraid to let your compassion be shown. There's a generation. There's not only your biological children within your home, but there is a generation who needs to experience motherly compassion. Be willing to open your heart. There are fatherless children, motherless children. There are kids in this world who don't have the greatest expression of what it means in their home. Many of the kids that followed us around and many of them followed us around and lived with us didn't have the greatest expression in their home. We didn't speak poorly about their parents. We didn't encourage them or allow them to speak poorly about their parents in our presence. Honor your father and your mother. We taught them that, but we let them live life with us. We let them walk with us. We let them grow with us. We let them see our mistakes. We let them experience our compassion, and every one of them that we have been willing to bring into our life, they knew that we would step in front of the car for them. Today, and I anticipate it. Today, by the time we get out of this church, I wouldn't be surprised if my wife has already got messages. Some of them have gone on to be pastors. Some of them are still searching. Some of them I'm still working on and still... we're still expressing motherly compassion and fatherly protection and all those things on a daily basis. We're still... As every mom and dad in this place would acknowledge, you know, your kid can be 35, but it's still your little boy or still your little girl, right? We teach our kids to be God-fearing, independent adults at some point. That's the hope. That's the plan. That's the goal. But they never stop becoming your kids, right? You're always picking up the phone. You're always welcoming them home. Today, I want to encourage you. Young moms, we got a few. Understand the great call you have on your life. Your motherly affection, your motherly compassion, your motherly love and protection and intuition is different than just those words by themselves. You cannot be replaced in the life of your children. But for many of you, if you've struggled to have children or just haven't had the opportunity, or that's not a part of you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that you're not motherly. It doesn't mean that you don't have those characteristics. And it doesn't mean that people in this generation coming up doesn't need those. You have the opportunity to say that whether I have my own biological kids or not, I'm going to be a spiritual mom. I'm going to be a strong influence, a strong woman, motherly influence. I would love to get rid of the stigma that would come with motherly. I still don't recommend it on a first date, young fellas. But I do recommend you look for it. Look for that woman who has a compassion that's going to burn hot. Put it at the top of your list. Right below, does she love Jesus? Amen? So today, ladies, every single one of you, I honor you. You have a glorious opportunity to give something to the next generation that us dudes can't. We can't. You have a unique expression that God has placed in your heart that you can share to all the generation. And many of you know that we're adoptive parents, and my daughter came into our home at 1 month old and never left, and nor would we have let her. But there is no separation and understanding today. I'm her dad and she's her mom. And anybody who wants to contest that, we're ready to fight. That sounds harsh, but that's truth. And any of the kids that we've had the opportunity to walk with spiritually, we would treat the same way. You have an opportunity. You have a calling. You have a special place in the life of the church. So walk in it. Don't be afraid to let your compassion grow hot. Amen? Let's just pray this morning. Husbands, you're sitting next to your wife. Kids, you're sitting next to your mom. Hold her hand. Place your hand on her back. Father, in the name of Jesus, I acknowledge today, Lord Jesus, that I have been blessed with a godly heritage of women in my life. I think of my great-grandmother who laid on her side. My last memory of my great-grandmother was lying on her side because she couldn't get out of her bed. Her body was littered, Lord Jesus, with arthritis. And we would go in and we would sing songs, Lord, to worship you. And even though she was in excruciating pain, she would raise her hand to you and worship you. I have a grandmother who this summer is turning 92, that if she knew I just called her a grandmother, she would probably smack me. But she's my nan, and I love her. And she's a hero in my life, Father. You know this. She raised 8 kids, Lord Jesus, after her husband passed away when the oldest of her 8 kids was only 11. And you helped her, Lord. It's still a godly heritage in that home. And she raised a daughter who became my mom, who is one of my heroes in life today. And I can't thank you enough for her. I can't thank you enough for my godly mother-in-law and for the joy and the affection and the godly heritage she's still in my future wife, Lord Jesus, who's compassion runs hot. Lord, I'm just so thankful. And today, Lord, we have a godly heritage of women in this room today, and I pray you would bless them. Some of them are going to become great moms. Some of them have already become great moms. And some of them, Lord Jesus, have been incredible spiritual moms. And some of them, Lord Jesus, have expressed love and given that compassion and that motherly affection, Lord Jesus, liberally and graciously, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for them, oh God. And I pray, oh God, that we would not be absent of that in this house, oh God, that it would flow freely. And that people would experience it when they come in here, oh God, and they would feel the love of Jesus Christ for the strong, compassionate women. And Father, I pray that as men today, that we would lift them up and we would support them. And we would hold them up and call them blessed, as it says in Proverbs 31. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the motherly compassion, affection. Thank you for those, Lord, who understand what it means to be motherly and is willing to share it, Lord, with their family and the next generation. We love you today. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. We're just going to sing. We're going to worship for a moment, but I want you to invite you to stick around. We have an amazing gift for you, moms, as you walk out this morning. These glorious, wonderful, I wish I was a mom so I could eat a cake pop. So we want to bless you that way, but we also have Cafe Connect this morning, so stick around. Let us honor you personally. Amen. But let's just take a moment, let's just worship for a second, for a couple moments, and then we'll just close in prayer. Let's just do that.